Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess Romero, Paul Clay. We're here on a Monday, and I want to start off with a St. Michael the Archangel. Defend us in battle, be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Paul, good morning. Welcome. I just want to start off by saying that as Catholics, let's not forget, let's keep all things in perspective. Our hope is in the person of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of God, God the Son, who's perfect and sinless, who's our Savior, who died for our sins 2,000 years ago and rose from the dead. Our citizenship is in heaven. As Catholics, let's not forget, politics is simply a tool. We do not put our faith, hope, and trust in politics. We put our faith, hope, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't put our faith, hope, and trust in political solutions, in political leaders. Yes, we thirst for justice. Absolutely, we thirst for justice. And we want to bring the gospel into society so we could sanctify the temporal order. But don't lose sight when you walk into a Catholic church. Who do you see? What image do you see on the crucifix? You don't see a pope, a cardinal, a bishop, a priest, a president, a senator, a mayor, a chief of police. You see an image of the Son of God. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you, Jess. It's good to be here. Happy to be here. And I agree with every word out of your mouth.
I want to talk a little bit about, I want to come at it from more of the spiritual side, because this doesn't surprise me, Paul. I have an article here, and I know I sent it to you last night. It's called Evidence, CIA Scorecard, and the Hammer Used to Alter Election Counting Machines for Biden. Now, it's got a lot of details in there. I don't want to bore you with the minutiae. You can just go and go to the show page, and you can click on the link and you can read exactly what the article says. I'll give you an overview, Paul, but I want to talk about the spiritual components. It's essentially saying that, you know, CIA, that they've come up with this software called the Hammer and the Scorecard. And it's been used by the CIA. Supposedly, it was devised to try to track Muslim terrorists back after 9/11. But now, according to this article, it's been used by the Obama administration and Biden as well, and the Clintons, to use against their political enemies. And they're alleging that it was used to rig this election. And the article goes into all the details. To me, it sounds very plausible that this software was used to steal the votes from Florida, Georgia, Texas, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Nevada, and Arizona, according to the inventor of this scorecard that's capable of hacking into elections and stealing votes. The person who invented this was a CIA contractor turned whistleblower named Dennis Montgomery. So he's the one that built this software, and it was used, again, initially, it was used to try to tap into Islamic terrorists right after 9/11. But again, when you have a tool like this, you have bad people in high places that will use them against their political enemies. So those are the allegations, Paul. Now, it doesn't surprise me. Why doesn't it surprise me? I'll tell you why. Because politics is a dirty business. And all of us, every single one of us, is wrestling with concupiscence or with a fallen nature. And so it doesn't surprise me that people, especially more of a godless politician, godless politicians, they wouldn't think twice about using this against their political enemies, again, just to meet their objective. And so, the Catechism of the Catholic Church actually talks about the fact that this is something part and parcel of the political game. Satan's behind it, by the way. Satan wants to use powerful men so he can move through society, and he can continue to infect the world with secular humanism, moral relativism, atheism, godlessness. And the Catechism talks about it in paragraph 407. It says, the devil has acquired a certain domination over man. And it says, even though man remains free, original sin entails captivity under the power of him who thenceforth had the power of death, that is the devil. Ignorance of the fact that man has a wounded nature inclined to evil gives rise to serious errors in the areas of number one, education, number two, politics, number three, social and morals. And so, Paul, behind all of this, this potential stealing of the elections, you know, ginning up votes, modifying these machines with software, behind all of this, we have the hands of Satan behind all of this, who's basically the puppet master of all evil. Paul?
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, there's a lot of people, you know, you read that article, Jess, and there's a lot of people that would say, oh, that is completely unproven conspiracy theory. But hey, I got to tell you that when you read the article, you see that the article cites testimony that was given, you know, under oath. You know, the whistleblower testified that these things were absolutely true. And then he was basically silenced by the Obama Justice Department, you know, preventing him from being able to talk about exactly what happened. And I think the American people, I mean, this is definitely something that's worth looking into, particularly when so much is at stake, because literally freedom is on the line.
That's right, Paul. And it makes sense. Think about this. It makes sense. And well, first of all, let me say this. If a political party like the Democrats have no problem in killing babies, and the legislation and funding and the protection of Planned Parenthood, which kills babies and cuts up their body parts and sells them, if a political party is going to cross that line and kill innocent babies, what is it to them to steal an election? That's small potatoes. That's nothing. That's tiddlywinks stealing an election. Once again, if you cross the line and you have no problem killing innocent human beings, oh, come on, guys. Stealing an election? Are you kidding me? That's like, you know, stealing you know, cookies from a jar when your mom says don't grab any cookies anymore, you know, till dinner time. And it reminds me of what the Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin, he once said. He said, this is the way you control countries. He said this, quote, I consider it completely unimportant who in the party will vote or how. But what is extraordinarily important is this, who will count the votes and how. Joseph Stalin, communist dictator. So he says, it doesn't matter who votes. It matters who's counting the votes. And again, this article is saying that this software, Paul, at a given moment in time, it was able to change the votes from President Trump to Joe Biden. It did that automatically within the machine itself. And again, go ahead.
Who out there thinks that that's not possible, that that could not be done, or that men aren't willing to do that, Jess?
Then people don't understand men's fallen nature.
I think that they have telegraphed a little bit too much. I mean, you were a boxer, Jess, and you know that if somebody telegraphs their punches, it's easy to defeat them, right?
That's right.
So I think the enemy here has telegraphed a lot. And let me just make a couple of quotes and then we can comment on it. The first one that I'd like to quote is by Thomas Jefferson. The strongest reason for the people's right to retain their rights to keep and bear arms is the last resort to protest themselves against tyranny in government. Now think about that for a second. The left, what is it that they've been talking about year after year after year? And that is limiting our Second Amendment right to bear arms. There's a reason for that. And let me give you another quote. One other quote will build off it. James Madison, the accumulation of all power, legislative, executive, and judiciary in the same hands whether of one, a few, or many, or whether hereditary, such as like Kim Jong-un, self-appointed or elective, may justly be pronounced the very definition of tyranny. And for those people who live in California, know what a Democratic supermajority looks like. And, at, you know, so we have to look at what is it that they are trying, what is it that they say that they're trying to achieve through this election? I'll tell you right now. They want to stack the Supreme Court. That's judiciary, right? They want the executive branch, the president. And then in addition to that, the legislative branch, right? There's a big fight right now for control of the Senate. And if we don't control the Senate, then basically, essentially, what the left gets is a supermajority. And we already they've already told us what they plan on doing. They also want to bring statehood to Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. And this is to ensure power. What do you think, Jess?
Yeah, guess what? In history, historically, as the government grows anywhere, the church gets smashed under the proverbial jackboot of the dictators and the oligarchies. The church always loses, Paul, under socialism and communism, and that's the direction that the Democrat Party is taking us. Listening to Jesus 911 reminds me that Jeremiah 17:9, the heart of man is desperately wicked, and who can know it? Absolutely. But our faith and hope and trust is the Lord Jesus Christ. So listening to Jesus 911, where our hope is in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Be back.
In 1 Corinthians 13:13, St. Paul says, "So there abide faith, hope, and love, these three." According to St. Ignatius of Antioch, faith is the beginning and love is the end. And God is the two of them brought into unity. Then comes everything else that makes up a Christian. May God grant that we may attain all the virtues that make for authentic followers of His Son.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right, every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what the catechism actually says about the virtue of hope? It says that our hope is in the promises of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't you forget that. Our hope is it not in the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence, as good as those documents are. Our hope is in the promises of Jesus Christ and the promises of eternal life. And it reminds me of a Jeremiah the prophet, chapter 29, verse 11 and 13 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you." That's what's key right there, Paul. God wants the whole country, every American, to what? Call upon him, come to him, pray to him, and what? And God will hear us. The Bible says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord." Paul, God allows persecution, you know what? To let his children come back to him, because oftentimes his children have gone wayward. And that's where I see a lot of Catholics right now. The new Israel, the true church of Jesus Christ. Many children have gone wayward. And this, what God is allowing right now, God is allowing this to bring his children back to repentance and back home.
Mm.
What say
you? Yes. Well, it's not like this hasn't happened before. And when you look at Israel and you look at King Ahaz and Isaiah, it was the same situation, that you had a king. Well, before I get into that, Jess, did you hear that the Catholic bishops just announced Joe Biden as the second Catholic president? Did you hear that? Yeah,
I think I heard over the weekend that they had congratulated him as, I think they called him president elect. I don't know if they are calling him, if they're,
yeah, but they're basically saying he's the second Catholic president. Now,
that's a
disgrace. How does that square when some priests are denying him Holy Communion?
Well, yeah, because canon law denies somebody Holy Communion if they have, if they're obstinately refusing to accept the church's teachings after having been told so by the clergy, by a priest or a bishop, and they obstinately refuse to submit themselves to the church's teachings. You have many priests around the country that have refused Joe Biden Holy Communion as per canon law. And so, Paul, it saddens me to see the successors of the apostles right now acting like Judases. And number one, first of all, they don't have the right to call an election. That's outside of their lane of authority. They don't have the authority to determine that. Their matters, are relegated to faith and morals, to teach the deposit of faith that's been handed down to the apostles. Politics wasn't handed down to them. And so for them to make this statement to me is shows a lack of prudence and a lack of temperance on their part.
Yes. Back to the example that I was given out of the prophet Isaiah, you know, there was a clear-cut example of a king who was in open rebellion toward God. And Isaiah simply, pleaded with him and said, "Look, just ask the Lord and he will give you a sign. Just ask him." And the king, you know, said, "Well, you know, far be it from me that I should ask the Lord." And Isaiah said, "Nevertheless, a sign shall be given to you, for a virgin shall be with child." And, you know, he proclaimed the prophecy that Jesus would be born. And I think we need to remember that no matter what's going on in the political environment, you know, Jesus' plan will not be thwarted. Everything is happening, you know, just as he has ordained. And it doesn't mean, and if he ordains that we might suffer a little bit and that we might, you know, be persecuted, to God be the glory.
Amen. Paul, you're speaking exactly like a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are God's children, and the Bible says we're in the palm of God's hands, especially if you're living in a state of grace. So come what may, whatever happens, God is allowing it because God is going to bring out something greater. God brings good out of evil. Romans 8:28. God is going to bring something good out of these elections, whether President Trump remains president, which of course I hope, or Biden becomes president. God's plan is not going to be thwarted. He's going to bring good out of evil. But, and let's not forget either. Let's remember, let's take the 30,000 foot view of everything. We seem to forget as Catholics, we fall into this error that we, through our own human efforts, can build the perfect world through policies, through government. And I just want to remind people what the church has taught, or the Bible has taught, for 2,000 years. that the devil is the prince of this world. John 12:31.
Yes.
The devil is the prince of this world. John chapter 16, verse 11. The devil is the prince of this world. John chapter 14, verse 30. The devil is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Ephesians 2, 2. The devil right now is working in the children of disobedience. Who's that? Yeah. The party of pro-abortion, the party of socialism, the party of same-sex marriage. And let's not forget, Paul, that God has told us in his word in John 15:19. He says, if ye were of the world would love you. But because you're not of this world, and I've chosen you out of this world, the world will hate you. And we're seeing that, Paul, right
Amen.
Now.
Amen. Amen. Listen, James chapter 4. Don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? You know, therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. I mean, it doesn't get any more clear than that, Jess. Another verse that I think can apply here is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 and starting. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments, for who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And see, this is why we see these things for what they are, is because we who choose to abide in Christ, that is to say, live in a state of grace. We've been given the mind of Christ, Jess. It doesn't get any better than that. And I hate to say it like that, but who am I to judge? Well, the Bible right here in verse 15 says, the Spirit makes judgments about all things. So we've been given that mind. And so we can recognize and call evil for what it is.
And Paul, also another thing that as Catholic followers of Christ, we should be upset, especially if we believe, I believe that the elections have been rigged and stolen.
Yeah.
This article that we're leaning on, go on Virgin Most Powerful's webpage or mine, Jesse Romero, and you can click on the article. It's very well done. It's very well documented. It's called Evidence, CIA Scorecard and the Hammer. These are softwares, that was invented by a CIA operative. Used to alter election counting machines for Biden. So again, I definitely, after reading this article and reading other articles like this, I'm saying this is absolutely possible. I can see this happening. But the fact of the matter is, we have to remember that our faith, don't place your faith and hope in political solutions. And don't place your faith and hope in the promises and in the person of Jesus Christ. And we have to pray. What I'm doing, every hour I stop what I'm doing and I pray for this elections, for justice.
Yes.
And our Father, Hail Mary, St. Michael the Archangel. Every single hour throughout the day, I prayed my rosary this morning. I went to Holy Mass this morning, offered my Holy Communion for justice for this country. And remember that prayer brings, it moves the hand of God. We see this in Scripture. Prayer moves the hand of God. And prayer is patriotic, by the way. This country, our coins say, in God we trust. Prayer is very patriotic, Paul.
Yes. Listen, we're to keep our gaze on the Lord and our glance on what's going on in the political world. You know, yes, it's important, and yes, it affects us. But we're to be fixed on the Lord, because in the end, you know, his will, it will be accomplished. We know this. And listen, Galatians 5:19-21, the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Isn't that a picture? Didn't I just describe what's going on in our country, Jess?
You described our country right now, Paul.
Exactly. And so you know, we cannot be surprised, or we, you know, we need to accept if God has ordained, and this is an if, because we're not, it's not over yet, but if he has ordained that, you know, we will, you know, be under an oppressive government, you know, in the end, for people of faith, it's only going to make us shine. You know, in fact, when you heat the metal, all the impurities come out, and what's left is pure gold.
That's right. Amen. And it's going, this is going to give us a time again, a time of purification to draw closer to Christ and to unite our sufferings with him and to become channels of grace through our sufferings. God will use those sufferings as channels of grace to other people in the body of Christ who are unconverted, who need healing of the intellect, healing of the soul. Yes. Other people in the body of Christ, again, who are addicted to sin.
Yes.
By offering yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, what we call redemptive suffering, we become now channels of grace for other people in the mystical body of Christ that are wounded. And let's not forget that prayer changes things. Just look at salvation history. Prayer changes people's hearts. I can tell you this. Paul Clay prayed for me some 32, 33 years ago. I remember. We were young deputy sheriffs. Paul said, can I pray for you? We're walking to our car in the Los Angeles County Jail. It was like 1 or 2 in the morning when we got off of PM shift or overlap shift. And we're walking, we're like on the third story, and Paul Clay, he could tell that I was hungry for God. And he looked at me 32 or 33 years ago, and he says, I want to pray for you. And you know what he did? He grabbed my hands right there, two young cops in a parking lot, and he prayed that the Spirit of God would open my eyes. And you know what? I accepted that prayer, and I opened my heart at that moment, and it changed my life. I know prayer changes hearts. I know it changed my heart. Prayer is a spiritual work of mercy. When we pray, God works. So remember, as Catholics, none of this throwing in the towel. None of this throwing in the towel. When you start, you know, getting depressed throughout the day, fire up these little prayers. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Do not lose heart. Continually say throughout the day, Jesus, I trust in you. Paul.
Preach it, brother. That's all I got to say is preach it.
Listening to Jesus 911 Two-Man Car. Jess Romero, Paul Clay, two retired cops, talking about the post of the election. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR, live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
If you shop on Amazon.com, there's an easy way to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Just visit smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center under the desired charity. Now, when you log into your Amazon account and purchase products, a portion of it will automatically go to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio at no cost to you.
Thank you.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. To Jesus be the glory forever and ever. Amen. We're talking about the elections. Now, do I believe that the elections were rigged based on the evidence that I've been reading or based on the data I've been reading? Yeah, I believe it was a sham election, Paul. And in fact, Archbishop Vigano, he's even weighed in on this. He's called the elections a colossal electoral fraud that we must now pray to defeat the enemy. There's some other articles out there that also realize that, you know, something's fishy in Denmark. I'm looking at one article here. It says, big story. Senator Dianne Feinstein's husband, Richard Bloom, owns vote counting company. I didn't know that. I didn't know that till yesterday. Senator Dianne Feinstein's husband, the one who said about Amy Comey Barrett, the dogma lives loudly within you, because she found out she had seven kids. Her husband owns a vote counting company. Very interesting. Here's another one. I know this one's making its way through the internet as well. It says, groundbreaking claim. Trump set up Democrats in sophisticated sting operation, caught stealing election red-handed. Now, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's, wishful thinking. But I'm sure you've read it as well, Paul, the fact that one article is saying that President Trump or his team put some encryption in the back of all the elections. I don't know if that's true. The time will tell what's true and what's not true. But what I will say is this, that looking at this from a Catholic point of view, if they did steal the elections, the Democrats, which I believe they did, based on what I've been reading, that's a violation as Catholics. Violation of the seventh commandment, thou shalt not steal. Eighth commandment, thou shalt not lie. Let me tell you something. Everything that comes out of our mouth and every action of ours will be judged at the tribunal of Christ. Matthew chapter 12, I think it's verse 36. And so people think they're getting away with stuff, Paul. Guess what? Psalm 139, God sees everything. And too much has been given, much will be expected. If you've been given much power in this life and you misuse it by breaking the seventh and the eighth commandment, boy, oh boy, you're going to stand tall before the judgment seat of Christ. And guess what? Jesus is not going to be calling you, hey, Mr. Senator, hey, Mr. Congressman, hey, Mr. President, hey, Mr. Prime Minister. We're going to be nothing before the eyes of God, because we are nothing before the eyes of God. We're totally dependent on God, even for our next breath. And people that are just so filled, Paul, so filled with their earthly titles, if they don't repent and turn to Christ in total humility, they're going to be in for a big surprise at their exit interview with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul?
Yeah, God is not going to look at them and say, but you were a senator, you know, and be impressed by that. I mean, that means nothing. God is not a respecter of men in that sense. And listen, Jess, I'm reminded as I listen to you talk of a verse where the Bible says, darkness fears the light for fear that it will be exposed. Mm. And when you look at just what has occurred over the last, since Election Day, and you see how, in Michigan and other states, on how they tried to block view of just simply, people who had a lawful right to look and watch the votes being counted. If you have nothing to hide, then why do you act like you have something to hide? That's the question that comes to my mind. And like when you look at, you know, just go appeal to the scriptures that, you know, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When we just apply the word of God to these situations, we can see, yeah, the Bible does say, you know, that darkness fears the light because it doesn't want to be exposed. And that's what this is what. You know, if the Democrats are, you know, have not tried to rig this election, then Joe Biden should be, you know, leading the chorus to say, hey, let's just slow down. Let's prove to them that, you know, this is the will of the American people. But that's not what you see. You see exactly the opposite. You see a rush to just, you know, proclaim him as the president. You see the media is not only are they not they're complicit in this, but they are an active partner. It's a shame.
It is. And Paul, and you know, I'll tell you what's a shame. I don't know the final counts. I don't know if the Catholic vote went to Biden. I think it did, the majority.
It did.
Okay. And I would just say here, they're fake Catholics. Okay, I'm just gonna put it out there, Paul. They're fake Catholics. The real Catholic vote went for the most pro-life president in the history of this nation. The fake Catholic vote went for Biden because they don't know their faith, because their conscience is malformed. Right. And by the way, the word mal in Latin, that's where we get the word for devil. Okay. Malus. So when you say somebody's conscience is malformed, literally in the Latin, it means it's diabolically formed. That's what James talks about. In James chapter 3, I forget what verse, he says that there in this world there is diabolical wisdom.
Yes.
Diabolical wisdom. What's that? That's a malformed, that's a diabolically formed conscience, and only a diabolically formed conscience can be so desensitized and allow the continual butchering of babies, just like guacamole. You know, since 1973... And not even trying to stop it by your vote, again, the church teaches very clearly in paragraph 1867 that if you're not trying to stop this and if you're supporting this or endorsing this by your vote, guess what? You're complicit in that sin. And when you die, you will stand before the tribunal of Christ and he's going to say, why were you for the killing of babies? You're going to say, oh, no, I wasn't, Lord. No, I wasn't. I was personally opposed to it. I'm a good Catholic. Then the Lord's going to show you your ballot on who you voted for and all the times that you were told by other Catholics that you could not vote for a pro-abortion candidate.
Yes. You know, Jess, this just reminds me of how important it is to be well-formed. And I'm going to put it there, how important it is to be Catholic. Because in the Catholic Church, the teachings, you know, that have been handed down, you know, and, you know, from the magisterium, you know, to current day is, you know, the teaching of the Catholic Church gives you full Christianity, not partial. And I'll give you an example. I was looking on the internet and I was watching a black pastor, and he was talking about how to vote, basically, and what about voting. And he essentially, his message was, you know, we can't be hyper political. You know, we just have to be, you know, Republican light or Democrat light. And if you vote, no matter where you vote, just remember, you know, our focus is on Jesus. And that was essentially his message. And that was the weakest message that I ever heard, because, you know, they elevate how you should treat the poor. You know, that's a godly issue that come, you know. You know, we can disagree on how we treat the poor. Do you give a man a fish or do you teach him how to?
Yeah, those are policy issues.
Exactly. And none of those are intrinsically evil. But when you're talking about defending a party that says that a woman has a right to murder her baby in the womb, we have a problem. We have a big problem with that. And, you know, there's few things that will invoke God's judgment. And I'll tell you that one of them is abortion. God will judge this country if we do not repent. And you can take that one to the bank.
And the judgment may have started, Paul. If Joe Biden gets in, this may be the judgment of God upon this country. What does he do? He allows wicked leaders, tyrannical leaders, because God's people have been silent. They've just basically been silent. And I'll tell you another tactic, Paul, of the left. You'll hear the left oftentimes, they'll say, in the Catholic left as well, the Protestant left, they'll say, come on, Christians, you got to stay neutral on these political issues. Or they'll say stuff like, God doesn't care about political issues. The only thing that matters is evangelism, only evangelism. It doesn't matter how somebody votes. Just evangelize people. No, stop. Okay? If you've heard that, you've been the target of deception, because these are those subtle little messages given by false teachers. It's designed to shut down your influence on the direction of American life. God wants us to be the salt of the earth. He wants us to be that city set on a hill, the church. And so the goal of the enemy is to mute Christians. How? By eliminating our viewpoint, our biblical worldview from the national discourse. And this is exactly what they want to do. Say, you know, it doesn't matter how people vote, just evangelize. No. If you censor somebody's biblical worldview from our culture, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have a secular worldview. And as Catholic Christians, we cannot be silent. We got to continue to preach the gospel boldly, live the gospel, and the gospel, it should affect the way we think, vote, live, and act, even part our hair.
Amen. Amen. That says it all right there, Jess. Listen.
You know, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to listen to Ephesians chapter 6. You know, put on the full armor of God. Why? So that we can take a stand against the devil's schemes. You know, we wrestle not, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. You see, the Bible tells us exactly what's going on. Yes, it's being acted out in the flesh. There's no doubt about that. But the real enemy it's a spiritual enemy, Jess. And that is why it's important that we put on the helmet of salvation, you know, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, you know. These are our weapons, and this is how we, as Catholics, we need to be reminded that, listen, this is what it's all about. This is how we defend the kingdom of God, by using spiritual weapons and understanding that the diabolical is where the fight is.
That's right. Two-man car, Jesus 911, two retired Los Angeles deputy sheriffs. We're here just to give you some soul food. Jesus 911... Jesus 911 actually means this: Lord, come to our assistance. Amen. We'll be right back. Don't change that dial.
Hands on Apologetics, you have entered into Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo, where we go wall to wall with defending, explaining, sharing the faith. Master Apologist Carlo Broussard. Carlo, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Hey, Gary, it's great to be back in the dojo, my friend.
Master Apologist Ken Hensley, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Good to see you again, Gary. Good to be with you.
Michael Barber, welcome. You have entered into the Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo.
Gary, thanks for having me on.
We are chatting with Master Apologist Carl Keating.
Gary, it's great to be back with you.
Coming into the dojo is our good friend Steve Ray.
Thank you, Gary. Good to be here.
Tim Staples, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Gary. Thanks for having me on.
Join many others in Gary Machuda's Apologetics Dojo.
We have some of the best Catholic apologists in the nation.
Streaming live weekdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific. Hands-on Apologetics on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Jesus said in Matthew 26, "Stay awake and pray that you may not enter into temptation." According to St. Ephrem, Jesus, who feared nothing, experienced fear and asked to be freed from death, although he knew it was impossible. How much more must we persevere in prayer before temptation assails us, so that we may be freed when the test has come? May God grant that we may withstand temptation and carry out His will in all things.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We can't have a gospel without the cross. We can't have a faith without suffering. The health and welfare gospels, name it and claim it. The American gospel, that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Catholic faith teaches us that there will be no Easter without a Good Friday. And Paul, we may have just started the passion of the mystical body of Christ, the church, if Joe Biden wins. And as Catholics, let's not fall into the error. It's not even an error. It's a heresy. And a lot of Catholics fall into this. It's called the heresy of Americanism. Now, don't get me wrong. Paul, I mean, we love this country. We are patriots.
See that flag back there?
Yeah, there's flags all over my house, too. I mean, Paul served this country in the military and as a cop. I mean, you can't get more patriotic than that. But the fact is that Americanism is a heresy that's been condemned by Pope Leo XIII. So what is it? What is it? Americanism would be where you put country before faith. And that's what a lot of so-called Catholic Democrats do, Paul. They put their political party and their platform before their Catholic faith. That's the heresy of Americanism. The denial of the influence of the Catholic Church's teachings on the civil domain. And so...
Not just Democrats, yes.
Yeah, you're right. Democrats. You're right. I'm saying their platform is Americanism. Yes. When you look at the Republican Party platform, it's congruent with the Catholic faith on the life issues. But yeah, individually, there's a lot of Republicans that are also heretics falling into the heresy of Americanism. But ultimately, and I want your comments on this, Paul, ultimately, the heresy of Americanism, the Pope Leo XIII says, it's the ultimate consequence of the denial of the rights of God and the supernatural order. So Americanism is a denial of the supernatural order established by God, and instead, we impose our own political order above and beyond what God says. Paul?
Yeah. In a sense, Jess, it's modernism. You know, it's a movement toward modernism.
That's right.
And we definitely have been infected with that, both the Catholic and the Protestant Church. And you said, pulling away of the supernatural. I'll give an example. Our founding fathers, they said, this idea of separation of church and state. Well, you know, might sound good, but the reality is we in the Catholic Church understand that, no, you know, God is God. And, I don't have a problem with a theocracy, of Israel when God was in control,
right.
Because it was ordered. But the problem is with man, and man, is all about disorder. But this idea that we've all gravitated into, Jess, that somehow all religions are on an equal plane, and that we can't offend, we can't say anything that would offend another person. I saw a video, online yesterday, where in Pakistan, grade school girls were being taught how to behead people. I mean, they were, and their parents were there watching. They were being taught. They had a dummy up there. They had a sword, and they were basically saying that because in France, they had a couple of cartoons that, in their opinion, mocked, the prophet Muhammad. That,
who we don't consider a prophet as Catholics, by the way, just in case people are wondering.
Exactly. No, we don't. Listen, the period was that, you know, God sent his son, period. You know, there's nobody coming else after that. You know, Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, period. But it's quite evident that, you know, the references to violence that the Quran, you know, in the Quran is just, you know, off the charts. And so it's no surprise when you see this, you know, grade school girls being taught how to behead people.
Unbelievable. God help us. I think somebody did send me that video. Paul, and more to your point about this, the error of separation of church and state. Again, that's not a Catholic principle. No. In fact, that's, if you want to know where that comes from Freemasonry. Mm. And many of the founding fathers were Masons. Tim Gordon, who's a lawyer, he wrote this, he wrote a book called, it's in my shelf. It's something of the title, something about Rome. The fact is he got a whole chapter on this whole, the whole idea or ideology of separation of church and state. It came from 17th century Freemasons, and it was exported into the founding fathers. But this is not a Catholic idea. In fact, Pope Saint Pius X, here's what he said about separation of church and state. He said, the position derived directly from the notion that the state must be separated from the church is absolutely false. Mm. This is a most dangerous error. Pope Saint Pius X. Again, because then you fall into, in other words, what separation of church and state has given us is secular humanism, just basically humanism and naturalism. And little by little, it infected our public schools, our colleges, our universities, and virtually everything we see now out there in American society, because that's like the golden calf. You know, we got to keep church and state separate. And that's not a Catholic idea, and now we're paying the consequences for it. And trust me, under a Biden administration, this Masonic principle will be enforced to the very letter.
Yep. I mean, it was, remember years ago, you had Wiccans showing up to, town council meetings and say, you know, demanding their right to be able to
opening prayer,
pray, you know, under this, you know, hey, if Christians can do it, you know, we can do it. Right. And, you know, it turns into a big meltdown. Listen, Jess, I fear, you know, that this big reset that they're talking about is really worldwide communism that they want to bring us into. What do you think about that?
Oh, well, Archbishop Vigano, who I look to these days for a lot of spiritual direction, that's exactly what he says. And okay. I think the Catechism also talks about that in 675, 676, 677, and this section on eschatology is, the Catechism calls it collectivism, which basically means communism.
Right.
And this is exactly the goal of Satan. One world government, one world bank, you know, education controlled by just, you know, the United Nations, one curriculum, open borders. And ultimately, Paul, this leads to the ushering in of the man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist. And so as Catholics, we have to pray as if everything depends on God and act as if everything depends on you. If there are rallies in your town, in your city, go participate in these peaceful rallies and let your voice be heard, especially those states where they're still counting elections. And don't underestimate the impact of your presence and of your prayers. And this is what we call frontline Catholicism right now. And it all starts with our hearts. We all have to have Jesus in our heart. And with Jesus in our heart, living in a state of grace, we can take that fight with prayer and using also the political process with zeal, determination. And we can't allow ourselves to be ruled by the enemy. We got to let Christ transform us and our culture. And Christ wants us to be a faithful soldier, come what may. Paul?
Yeah. Elijah prayed and it didn't rain for 3 years. What does that tell you? You know, 3 years God held back rain. You know, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much, the scripture says. And You know, our focus needs to be on holiness. It needs to be on living in a state of grace so that we can become powerful. Our prayers can become powerful.
Right.
And that
right.
You talked earlier about redemptive suffering. You know, we need to learn how to offer up that suffering, you know, for the redemption of souls.
Yeah. So many lost people in the Catholic Church, the true Church of Jesus Christ. We have so many lost Catholics right now.
Yes.
We have to offer penance and prayers for their conversion because Christ died for their sins as well.
Yeah. Without true conversion and without, walking and abiding in Christ, you have absolutely no power to understand the things of God. You're blind. It's like going to a blind man saying, "Don't you see?" And the answer is no, he can't see. Or, you know, "Don't you hear?" No, he can hear. He needs a miracle. And he needs to hear the proclamation of Jesus and say, "Receive thy sight." He needs to say, a dead man can't do anything, right, Jess?
Right.
And
there's
and
a lot of people that are spiritually dead. They may be walking and talking, but they're spiritually dead.
Yes.
And our prayers and our penance can bring them back to life because we can call down through our prayers and penance the graces of conversion that they need. And if they open their heart to those graces, they can come out of the casket just like Lazarus, and they can help us in this battle for souls.
Amen. And the way to do that is through prayer. It's the only way that it can be done, because when people continue to walk in sin, they continue to open up doors to diabolical influence. They're basically, captive, and we have to liberate them, Jess. We're like the Delta Force coming into.
You're right. Exactly.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
We got the keys to the jail, and they're locked up. They're incarcerated. We're like Paul and Silas, remember? And they started praising God and belting prayers to heaven, and God just burst all the jail's doors open. That's what our prayers do, Paul. There are people in bondage, Catholics and non-Catholics. They're in bondage to the devil and sin and this world system, and our prayers can make those gates just explode open and liberate them and set them free and bring them back into the mystical body of Christ.
Jesus came to set the captive free, Jess. Bottom line. And guess what? We are his ambassadors. We are representing him. We're his soldiers in a foreign land, and we're able to take down strongholds. Why? Because we have God. We have God on our side. God in us, the hope of glory.
Amen. And I've heard you say many times, with God, that's an army of one. That's all you need. Okay.
Oh yeah, with one is a majority with God. You know, and isn't that the case? One is a majority with God.
Matter,
matter of fact, God likes the odds against his favor, so he can show you who is like unto me. There is none.
Amen. Hey, if you like what you hear, then like us, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell to be notified, share this show with others. On Mondays, I got the two-man car, me and Paul Clay. Up next, Gary Machuda, hands-on apologetics, coming from the Midwest Command Center. Remember, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in Jesus. We're 10-7. We're out. See you next time. Same Christ time, same Christ channel.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.